Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite podcast, where editors of Managed Healthcare Executive chat with healthcare executives in the C-Suite and professionals. Our conversations are about the most important issues facing American healthcare today, such as its cost, effectiveness, delivery, organization, and its fairness. Listen in, learn a lot. Hi everyone, my name is Brianna Contreras and I'm Associate Editor of Managed Healthcare Executive. In this week's episode, I spoke with WellRight CEO Nipa Patel on the topic of wellness programs in healthcare and the need for employers and health plans to roll out new, effective, holistic, and innovative programs for patients. Nipa and I did happen to discuss the challenges that some organizations can face when rolling out these programs, but she explained how accessible, affordable, and beneficial these programs are for patients' mental health and well-being.
Hello there, Nipa. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you doing, Brianna? Nice to meet you.
Good. Nice to meet you, too. So just to get started, can you first just tell our listeners about WellRight and then what you do for the organization?
Sure. WellRight is a leading provider of employee wellness services. We work with about 600 employers across the country, large employers, health systems, health plans. We deliver wellness programs to encourage healthy behaviors for employees and meet them on their wellness journey wherever they may be. And I am the CEO of WellRight. I've been with the organization for a few months and very excited to lead this passionate group of team members that I work with.
Very wonderful. Thank you. Now to, you know, dig deeper into wellness programs, are you seeing employers and health plans double down on wellness and mental health now with the COVID era? Or not era, I'm sorry, COVID era?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, we've heard a lot in the news about how mental health has certainly taken its toll on folks during the COVID era. And, you know, there's studies that say that 40% of employees report some sort of work-related concern that leads to feeling burnt out or exhaustion. That number goes up pretty significantly with healthcare providers. So nurses, for example, will say that it's close to like 55% of nurses will say that they've experienced some burnout over the last 18 to 20 months. So certainly there's increased focus on mental health with employers, large and small. I think many, you know, folks have had a wellness program in place for years, but thinking about more holistic aspects of wellness has come to the forefront definitely more over the last 18 months than it had previously.
Right, right. So for the next question, what would you say to someone who still views wellness programs the same way they did 10 years ago?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. And certainly I was a skeptic of wellness programs probably 10 years ago as well, in terms of just looking at sort of the singular focus of wellness programs before, maybe on physical or nutritional aspects of wellness. I think what's different about wellness programs today is really the holistic aspect of wellness, thinking about there's, you know, financial impact, there's mental health impact. If you think about financial stresses, for example, there's studies that show that well-being is impacted by financial stress through maybe increased pain or inflammation. And so I think when employers think about wellness programs today, it is really thinking about all aspects of wellness and how do you take all this disparate content and sources of information and data you may collect from health risk assessments or biometric screenings or wearables and put that into a program that meets the employee where they are on their wellness journey. So how do you take all of that information and really help an employee create a program that is really about improving their own healthy behaviors. And that's a sort of a different take on wellness than where we were 10 years ago.
Yeah, for sure. And I know you gave a few examples, brief examples of some of these types of wellness programs or tools, but could you possibly give maybe a few more examples just on wellness programs that follow the effective, innovative, and more holistic approach?
Sure. You know, I can give you a couple of examples. So there's, there's a civil engineering firm here in Illinois, V3 Companies, and they looked at a program that was really about both their office-based and their remote employees and created a series of virtual activity challenges. And, you know, they've achieved significant engagement with their population. 83% of their employees and spouses participate in these programs each year. And the range of activities they participate in also vary, you know, whether it's taking walks at lunch breaks and encouraging people to do that, to reducing soda consumption. There's a lot of different ways that some of these programs have affected healthy behavior. And then you look at another example of a organization, Tidelands Health, which is a hospital system in South Carolina, and they've invested in a wellness program for 15 years, right? And that program is multifaceted. It's not only sort of what we consider a typical wellness program with physical wellness and nutritional wellness, but they also look at how to incorporate biometric screenings and health coaching. They have disease management programs. They have financial planning resources they put all of those resources to bear for their employees in an effort to improve not only the employees' sort of well-being, but also look at how that helps with retention and productivity and just reduction of absenteeism over time. And so I think there's lots of different components that an employer can also look at and pick and choose what fits their employee population based on where they are.
Got it. Thank you. I guess, how accessible and affordable can some of these wellness programs for patients be if they're incorporated into health plans?
Yeah, I think, you know, many of our health plan customers actually offer the wellness benefit free of charge or as a benefit to their employees. So most of these programs, particularly from an activity base, are free to the patient. And in fact, many of the employers actually offer rewards and incentives for participation. And so I think, you know, the financial piece of this is less of an obstacle for many patients to become engaged. I think the key to all of these programs is to make the programs as accessible and inclusive to those that are participating. So whether that means it's a range of content and range of activities to meet all sorts of people's needs, or whether it's about how accessible it is from any time of day you can engage with, you know, if you're a shift worker that works late at night, you can still engage in the program. It's not time-based, and it can be personalized to how you want to interact with the programs versus something that's dictated by your employer.
Okay, great. Thank you. Now, what are some of the challenges organizations face when rolling out wellness programs?
So the challenges we see are really twofold. One is thinking about a program that is not a one-size-fits-all type of program. So again, as I mentioned earlier, different employers have different needs, different employees have different needs. So looking at your workforce and understanding how they might want to access these programs, what services they might want at different times of day, what kinds of priorities those workers have. If you look at different types of companies, so just making sure our programs are flexible to whether you're a software tech company or you're a manufacturing company or your health services company, all of those factors come into play. So not thinking of your program as a one size fits all and really thinking through the range of employees you have and frankly their families that also utilize many of our programs, thinking about how they can access those programs is one key aspect. And then I think the other challenge is you've got to constantly look at your program and adapt it and evolve it. So it's not a set it and forget it type of program. Looking at data, thinking about how your population changes. Are you introducing new populations? Are you, is your population, the demographics of your population changing? Certainly COVID is a great example. How are you reacting to the environment around you? How do you think about whether there's a different type of activity or aspects of various programs that you want to have, give your employees access to? So being able to not only have a program that is not one size fits all, and then also just not setting and forgetting your program, but constantly updating it and evolving it as time goes on.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
And for the next question, how does WellRight fit into the digital health revolution, and where are you headed?
So obviously, digital health is a hot topic. We've seen telehealth use skyrocket. You know, it's 40 times higher than it was before the pandemic started. I think consumer use of digital health technologies has increased 3 times from where it was before the pandemic. And so, you know, we see ourselves as really offering a platform, a digital platform or a hub that brings together all these disparate content sources, wearables, health screenings, financial data into one accessible location. So really thinking about how can we help to be a hub for all this various information and provide an experience that is personalized for each employee. And the two key aspects of that are really around configurability and flexibility. So the role that we play is making sure that our platform can integrate with resources that may already be available to employees and members, whether that's an EAP program or a health plan portal or content that may have been developed with other organizations, and how do you pull all of that together? And then also thinking about, from a flexibility standpoint, the comment I made earlier, can you quickly meet the needs of the changing environment, the changing needs of the employee base, and how do you scale to support those populations? So I think, you know, we see ourselves as really, again, being a hub to provide a holistic, personalized wellness experience for employers and their employees.
All right. Now, what advice do you have for health plans, employers, providers preparing to roll out or revamp their wellness programs?
I think the biggest piece of advice that I can think about is really thinking about your population, doing some surveys, talking to your employees, understanding where, what the needs of your community are, and then devising a program that is accessible to all of them. So that's flexible, that's accessible, that integrates resources you already have, and that really speaks to how you can engage your employees to really take advantage of the resources that you've made available to craft their own wellness journey.
Thank you. And Neepa, that's actually all I had for you, but if there's anything that we didn't touch base on that you'd like to share with our listeners, please do.
I think, you know, we've touched on a lot, Brianna. I think that the biggest message I would want to share is that, you know, we thinking about, again, all the content that is available in the market today and all the point solutions that are available, and really thinking through how you can provide a hub or a platform to integrate all those resources and then work with your employees to create a personal journey for themselves that really encourages healthy behavior change over time is the direction we'd like to take WellRight in support of our employer customers.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of Tuning Into the C-Suite Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and follow Managed Healthcare Executive on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. For more information on Managed Healthcare Executive, visit our website at www.managedhealthcareexecutive.com.